What is up, guys? Welcome to Instagram Marketing Secrets, episode 56. Today, I am doing the recap of the Jenna Marie Fit interview. I hope you guys liked that interview and I was quiet enough for you and let her do enough of the talking. I think I did, but she certainly gave a ton of value in that episode. So if you haven't listened to it, go ahead and go back to that episode, because this one is just going more in depth on some of the keys that she was covering during the interview. So I'm going to give you my two cents and give you guys some actionable tips on how you can apply some of these things into your own business. And one of the biggest things that we're going to cover on this episode is engagement groups. And that's something that I get a lot of questions about, and I have a lot of opinions on it. There really are a lot of good things and a lot of bad things that come from engagement groups. So I'm going to just go over all of the pros and cons so you can understand if it would be a good idea for your business to get into engagement groups. So anyways, let's go ahead and get started with the first topic, which was just that it was the content strategy that she had developed. Jenna Marie's key was that she got an awesome content strategy down very quickly. And what she did is she spent a few months even just following big accounts that did things that she wanted to be like. She wanted, there were parts of their page, maybe not all of their posts, maybe they're just really good with their captions, whatever it was, she found people that she wanted to model off of. And this doesn't mean copy by any means, all right? This is just modeling something that's already working by seeing, okay, this is like they're doing a lot of video tutorials, or they're doing a lot of infographic content, or they're doing a lot of inspirational content, whatever it is, whatever you can take from someone, or maybe they're just really good with their captions or the questions that they ask to encourage comments, whatever it is, you find accounts that are doing what you want to do to get some kind of basic guideline for how you need to be on Instagram. And I think it's very important that people do this, because you really shouldn't have to reinvent the wheel when there's already so much track record of success on the platform. No matter what industry you're in, fashion, fitness, products of any kind, travel influencer, whatever, you are going to be you. You are going to be a unique account, but you have to at least start with the idea of what is already working for people. And then you're going to think, okay, this is what I like about it, but this is what I don't like about it. And then that will give you some ideas for how you should further refine your content. And that's what happened with her. She was following a bunch of people that she liked their stuff, but then she also saw a bunch of things that she didn't necessarily like. So she knew right away, all right, that's something that I don't want to offer to my audience. That's something that kind of bugs me when I see other people doing it. So I'm not going to offer it to my audience, but at least start with the idea of what is already working. So if you're not familiar with what kind of content works in your market, how I would suggest finding it, rather than just starting to type in the search bar to find, let's say you're in the fitness industry, rather than going to the search bar and typing in fitness and looking for fitness accounts that way, I would start on the hashtag fitness and then look for accounts that are already as one of the top trending posts on that hashtag. The reason why is this is going to help you find people that are already big accounts. But when you just type in fitness per se in the search bar, it's going to populate a bunch of accounts that are typically, they'd have fitness in the name, like Fitness Jake, Fitness Jill, but they're not necessarily big influencers. So I like to start with the hashtag, because then I can at least start from, let's start from a post that's already viral and then find the originator of that post and then see if they have a track record of viral posting. So go on to some of the hashtags in your market, some of the big ones, even the medium-sized ones, and go back through and just start looking for content that you personally really like and would be proud to post something like. And if you are a repost account, then obviously save some of this content as you're going through if you would potentially want to share it later. Otherwise, you can even just save some content that you think is valuable for you to analyze, and you know, maybe you want to look at it again when it actually comes time to posting, and just start to find some of the patterns and some of the trends and some of the things that you like and some of the things that you don't like. And even if you have a well-developed content strategy, this is still a beneficial thing to do. It's always good to go back and just say, it's been a while since I've gone back through and looked for viral content in my market. I'm going to see if there's anything new out there that I need to be aware of, because more research never hurts. So model what's already working and then be yourself within it. That was really her key to being able to grow so quick, whether it was from 0 to 1K or 1K to 10K or 10K to now over 90,000 followers. It really was just having that very refined value-based content strategy. She really stresses the fact that she doesn't over-document her life. She gets right to the value. And that's something that I think is the biggest issue with almost every account out there. And I just want to clarify this, because I've talked a lot about this before, or if you follow my Instagram page, then you know I've made a couple posts about, you know, don't over document your life. So let me explain this in full, because some people reach out to me and they say, well, I'm, you know, an influencer, or I'm a musician, or whatever they are. And you are part of your brand. Your face is part of your brand. I'm not saying don't document your face. I'm saying don't document things that happen in your life that are very off brand. All right. If it's so off brand that you can't even make a caption that is on brand, then you shouldn't post it. You might not even want to post that on your story, but with your story posts, you can be a little bit off brand. But what I mean, let's just take a fitness example. If someone in the fitness industry goes to lunch and you take a picture of what you ate, you can be on brand if in the caption you say, guys, blah, 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 this is one of the healthiest fats out there, great price, it's one of the best meals to eat when you're on the road and trying to eat healthy. If you can still deliver value to your audience, then you can do it. If you just say, this was delicious, I love this restaurant, then that's when you're off brand. So if you're not able to make a caption at the minimum that's keeping you on brand, I would probably not post it, because even if it just is one post, it's not going to do anything for you. It's just going to, you know, if anything, it's going to hurt you, because when new followers come over to your page and they're debating whether they want to follow you, they're like, all right, workout advice, workout advice, workout advice, and then, oh, some food. However, all they said was that they like it, and that's not why they would follow you. Yes, everyone is an amazing person, but the bitter reality of it, and no matter how cool you are, is that people don't care about your life unless they actually know you outside of the platform. How do I know this? Because you don't follow anyone that fits this criteria, that is someone that doesn't provide you some kind of value, and you don't know them personally. Okay, that you probably don't follow anyone that fits both of that criteria. You either know them, or even if they do maybe over document their life sometimes, they do provide you with some kind of value which makes you follow them. And if they were only documenting their life, you wouldn't follow them. So just remember to stay on brand, but remember that the Instagram account is to attract other people. It's not for you to just post what you want unless you're just trying to have fun with Instagram. Then of course, do whatever you want. But if you're trying to gain masses of followers from people who don't know you, just stick to adding value. Just stick to giving value designed to attract the followers that you want. It seems so obvious, but so many people are still doing it wrong. They're like, yeah, well, I'm in the fashion industry, so I show people what I'm wearing. Well, do you tell them how they could then you know, recreate that same wardrobe and do it under budget, and whatever other value tips would go along with that wardrobe. Like, how do you tie it into you making that post about the user, not just about look at what I got or look at what I'm eating or anything like that. So just remember, you're making an account, you're making value for other people, not just for your own entertainment. And that really was the main thing, guys. She got her content strategy down and she got her accounts theme down. The next thing that I liked that she mentioned was just the apps that she uses. So she mentioned four. One of them is Plan with two N's, and Preview. These are pretty much the same app. You can check them both out. Pretty sure they're both free too, but it's just a way that you can essentially just put your posts that you're thinking about posting in Instagram into these apps, and then it just appears like a puzzle piece and you can drag them around so you can kind of make a color scheme. And when I've done something like this in the past, how I like to do it is just have, if you're imagining an Instagram profile and there's three pieces of content wide, the middle piece, I want that to match up with the piece that's to the bottom right or the top right, the top left, or the bottom left of it. The ones that are diagonal from it, I like to have some kind of color that is the same. So maybe in this photo that's in the center, I'm wearing a green shirt, and then there's just bits of green or like a similar color or some kind of similar filter or something like that that matches up where the photos diagonal from it match. I'm not saying do this. I'm just saying that's just a way that I've done it in the past when I've used those preview plan apps, that I kind of like to, you know, not make it too obvious that I'm making a color scheme, but it just looks good to the eye. So hopefully that makes sense. Or if not, and you kind of get how I would design that, go design it in the app and you'll see what I mean. It just is a way to kind of keep it flowing. But either way, you'll be able to just mix around the photos and find out what works well. So then you can plan out, you know, the order of content that you want to post. The other things that she uses are for video editing. One is Splice and one is VideoShop. And she also uses those to add text as well as to add music. And adding both of those is very key, actually, because it really does make the post that much more engaging, and the music does make you watch the post longer. And if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know that I've theorized that the time someone spends on a post seems to, in my experience, translate to engagement. So if you have music on your content, it's just going to make them listen to it for that much longer, even if it's just a couple extra seconds to hear like a verse play out, or it's dubstep and they want to hear the drop play out, whatever. It just encourages them to listen longer. And what she does is she just buys the song on iTunes and then adds it in, which seems to be working and not having any issues with copyright. So that was very big for me to know, because, you know, I see a lot of people do it, but like I mentioned in the episode, I have added music that I didn't necessarily own that I just put into the track thinking it would be okay, and then actually Instagram or Facebook picks it up. So I don't know how they know when you actually own it or not. That's pretty skilled of them to know, but I have had it a few times now happen where the song is just removed. I've had the post removed before because it had a copyrighted song in it before, or I've had, right now I have one on Facebook that says we've dampened the music because a potential copyrighted song has been detected. So I don't know how they do it, but yeah, that seems to be the way to do it, is that you can buy the song from iTunes or just whatever app that you can buy music from on your phone and then add it that way. So she uses the VideoShop app to do that, and that's also what she uses to add the text, which is also a major key to her page. So I'm going to talk about this and also explain how I would recommend that you guys do it on your own page. This is one of the biggest keys to Jenna Marie's success. If you go to her page, you can see that when you scroll down, every video of her workouts has the text for what she did that day in her workout. So if it says back day or leg day or circuit or cardio or whatever, that is at the bottom of the video. And you can scroll down her page and just find whatever workout you want. And the idea of that is so important. And I'm trying to create that on my own page too by doing some kind of like series of stuff. So right now I'm doing like entrepreneurship mentality, lesson one, lesson two. I've only put out two lessons right now, but I'm trying to put out multiple entrepreneurship mentality lessons so that if someone finds that post and they like it, they can go back through my page and find the other posts that are part of that series. Or even if it's not like a series, if it's just that you have all of these videos where, like, say you're like me and you're a coach and you're getting on video and you're just giving people value, it doesn't really help people out when they get to your page and they scroll down and they just see a bunch of videos of it's you talking, but they don't know what you're talking about until they open the video and listen to it. That does not make for a very user-friendly experience for people who are just getting to know you, especially, or people that are like, oh, I want to find that old post. Like, it was so good. I want to show my friend it, but I can't find it because it's not labeled. So start making the cover of your videos something that's impactful for people to be able to see while they scroll down your page. A lot of people have like this thumbnail, the cover of their video be like it's just a black screen because maybe the beginning of their video, it fades in. You do not want to do this. The cover of your videos is very, very important because it's the thumbnail. If you don't know what I'm talking about, when you go to post a video, you'll see that you have an option to change the cover and you can pick whatever second you want in your video to be the front image that people see before they click on this post. And this is also one of the biggest keys to getting on the Explore page because people are like, hey, I don't know how to get on the Explore page. Well, the problem is a lot of you are on the Explore page. It's just that no one is clicking on your thumbnail because when you go to the Explore page, you're looking at like 30 posts all at the same time and they're scrolling through and they're picking which one they want to click on. So if your thumbnail is not captivating, then they won't click on it. So make sure with your cover videos that, you know, follow the guideline that you would want to click on it. But usually what that means is that it's a cliffhanger. So if it's a karate video, it's a video of someone almost going to get kicked in the head, right? Something like that, where it's like, oh, I wonder how this is going to play out. It's a cliffhanger. So you just kind of show the climax of the video or right before the climax of the video is generally the guidelines that I have for what you set the thumbnail to be as the cover of your video. But very, very important for the sake of people being able to navigate through your page, to find old content, as well as for the sake of more people clicking on it. Because just imagine one of her videos on the Explore page. If someone's really into fitness and they're scrolling through and they see just a bunch of videos, like of a still frame of someone about to work out, versus they see her video and then it says back day, and they're like, oh, I've been looking for ideas for back day. Now they know that they're going to be able to click in there. And one, it's going to be, you know, about back workouts. But two, if it's called back day, they know it's probably her entire workout. Like, how perfect. So you can know what her video is about just from the cover of it. So make sure that that same thing is for you guys too. Like, if you are someone who coaches or gets on camera and talks about things, at least add some text to your video and have the cover of it be just what your video is about. All right. It's very, very, very important. Next thing we talked about is her posting frequency. So this is something I wanted to clarify because you guys hear me talk a lot about how often you need to post. So the thing with posting frequency is people ask, do I need to post every day? Do I need to post multiple times a day? What's the minimum that you recommend someone post? Let me just clear the air because more so than a lot of Instagram coaches out there, I say that you don't have to post nearly as much as a lot of people tell you. For instance, some people tell you post 6 times a day. I've heard 10 times a day. I disagree with that unless you are providing that much value, or you're like a humor page. For instance, I follow a page called Old Row Official. A bunch of you probably know about it. It's like a college page where it's just like college kids doing stupid stuff. They post like probably 6 to 10 times a day. But guess what? It actually is fine because they have the same level of content all the time, and it's just humor. So for humor, that's a little easier to post multiple times a day. For like fitness teaching, or for me, for like Instagram teaching, you probably don't want to see 6 posts a day from me just trying to make different entrepreneurial quotes, Instagram strategies, things like that. You got to know what kind of content you have and just go off of the rule of, would you want to see yourself post that many times a day? Like if you were someone who follows you, put yourself in your follower's shoes. Can you provide that much value that you should post that much? In 99 times out of 100, the answer is no. And if anything, one, that makes it so your lifestyle is unmanageable while working social media, because you guys have other commitments apart from social media. So it makes it very hard to post multiple times a day and keep the rest of your life in check. And the other thing is that it is very hard to create content that is so valuable that your audience wants to hear from you that much. And in the case of like this Old Row Official page, or just like a lot of meme pages that are just humor based, a lot of times they're reposting others' work. So that's why it's also easier for them to crank out that level of content. So very few pages should actually post that much. My favorite is either posting once a day or twice a day, or every other day. Those would probably be my favorite 3 strategies that I recommend to people. But if you have to post every 3 days to, you know, finally have something that is worth sharing with your audience, which is totally fine, like that's great. Like I think every 3 days is fine too. I don't recommend you going longer than a week ever without posting. I also wouldn't really recommend going longer than 3 days without posting, but you are okay. Your engagement won't get killed if you wait a week to post. How do I know this? Because I rarely post on my personal page, but when I do, it still gets a ton of likes from all of my best friends, the people who have liked my posts in the past, because Instagram knows, hey, they're highly likely to like my posts. So it doesn't matter that I haven't posted in a while, they're still going to show it to them. That's all, that's essentially what engagement is about, is these people are likely to like the post, so I'm going to show it to them. And if you post all the time and people like it all the time, then sure, posting all the time helps your engagement go up. But a lot of times over posting can translate to you getting less and less likes, and that's what will hurt engagement. So you just have to understand that simple premise of the algorithm, and then just know that, you know, post at a frequency that your followers will want to see, that accomplishes what you're trying to do with your business, but then also doesn't oversaturate your listeners or your viewers with way too much content from you. Just put yourself in their shoes, but also look at it like, hey, if a company sent you 6 emails a day, would you really like that? Probably not. So again, put yourself in their shoes, and you can kind of guess as to what level you should post, but once a day or twice a day, I think are the best 2. And then every other day would be my 3rd favorite posting frequency that I recommend people do. So let's go into the bulk of this with talking about engagement groups. Engagement groups are something that can be pretty helpful to you. Essentially what they are, if you don't know, is an engagement group is when you have a direct message thread with multiple people, and usually they're in the same industry as you, and you guys can all get together, and whenever you have a post, you just send it to that direct message group thread, and you say, hey guys, I got a new post out, go like and comment on it, whatever. And then they're supposed to at least go in your post, like it, comment it, and then whenever they come out with a new post, again, they put it in the group, but now it's your turn to go in and like and comment on their posts. So this is helpful because you've got your base of those extra couple likes and comments, and you also are able to DM it to the group message thread. So they're very likely to see it within the first hour of you posting it, which is very key for it to have a chance to trend. So does it help? Yeah, it helps as much as, you know, those likes help. If you get 5 extra likes from your engagement group, then that's how much it helped. It helped you get 5 likes. And the thing that I was struggling with the engagement groups that I was in, and this is the main struggle that people have, is that the people eventually just, you know, they lose interest in it. I might have had like 80 people in my engagement groups, like combined, and I would get about 3 to 5 people that would actually like and comment on my photos. And I was very active on commenting on theirs at the beginning, but then just over time, I myself got way less active on liking and commenting on their posts. And it just kind of happened to me as well. But the one thing that never went away is the amount of DMs that I had in my inbox. I always had 15, 20, 30 DMs that would be in my inbox, and I'd think, oh, dang, I'm blowing up. I got to check these out. And they'd all just be, you know, people saying, go like my post, go like my post. And there were so many people in these engagement groups that were posting a lot and asking for help, but not really giving help, that it became more of an annoyance than, you know, a beneficial thing for me to do. So just weigh your options and know that, yes, you're going to get a lot more DMs. You're going to have people constantly asking you in your groups to go like and comment on their stuff, which can still help you, right? If they're in your market and you're leaving comments on their work, then potentially their followers will see your comment and go check out your profile. So if you are going to do it, you certainly want to make sure they're people in your market, because you want you commenting on their post to also be valuable to you. That will also make it so that you are always very likely to do it, and that they are very likely to comment on your post as well, because it still is beneficial for them. You're also going to want to make sure that the people you're doing it with are committed to the process, as are you. So I essentially am in a couple engagement groups right now, but it's not an official group. I just have a pact with a couple other Instagram marketers that all like and comment and save all of your posts, and you like and comment and save all of my posts. And what it does is it makes it so we're always exposing ourselves to each other's audiences, and then we're helping each other out. And we're not actually in a DM group. Both of us are just active enough that I know, and we have good engagement with each other. We're just always going to see each other's posts whenever we make it on, that, you know, we just kind of have a pact, like, let's just always like, comment, as well as save each other's posts. And if you can get that deal going with a few people, that's another way to be in an engagement group, but not have the annoyingness of having these group DM threads just always getting blown up. But if you're looking for engagement groups, if you like the idea of it, if you're really trying to hustle on Instagram and you're like, dude, I'd freaking live on there right now. I just need to make some moves. 5 likes, I'm all about it. 5 likes and 3 more comments on my post than I otherwise would have. Awesome, right? It's more beneficial when you're newer. Those 5 to 3 likes don't really mean much once you have tens of thousands of followers. But maybe when you're newer, they really can help you. If you do want those extra likes and comments, an easy way to find an engagement groups is an app called Telegram. Believe it's free, but basically you can join these engagement groups, and they'll have little rules for how you can actually join, and you can find groups that are actually in your market. So if you're interested, or you at least want to try it out for yourself, you know, there's no harm in just doing it for a month or two and just seeing if it is helpful for you, then check out Telegram. But engagement groups, I don't call them one of my main growth hacks, because they didn't really do that much for me. I know some people have said that they have been more beneficiary for them, but it's just like, cool, 5 extra likes and 3 extra comments. Whatever that does is basically what I was finding the engagement groups were doing for me. So eventually I just got rid of all of them because I was just sick of having constant DMs from people that were not interested customers. So guys, we're going to wrap up the episode and talk about the fear of getting started with this in 1 sec. Just quick word from my sponsor. So one of the last things that we talked about was just the willingness to get started with the process, because there is fear that it can be involved when you're filming yourself in public. Like, I still don't like filming video ads or trying to record a little testimonial for my podcast. Hey, go check out the Instagram Marketing Secrets podcast. I feel kind of weird doing it in public when other people are watching me film myself. So it is something to get over. And for her, she's just at the gym, but also setting up a camera and filming herself. And it was something that she had to get used to. But ultimately, guys, the main way to do it is to, one, get started, and then, two, remember why you're doing it. We're not doing it for us. You would be making this content for other people. She's got to remember the girls who are messaging her saying, hey, thanks so much for all you're doing. You've got me going to the gym consistently now. You're always giving me all of these new workout ideas, and doing it for those people. Because even if you're not the best fitness influencer or travel influencer in the world or whatever you do, but you're pretty good at just laying out some content and it resonates with some people, then how awesome is that right there? You just got to remember that in the end, you're making the content for other people. So don't let your fears hold you back from putting it out there, because there could be someone out there that would really identify with you as a person, as well as identify with your content and really, you know, benefit from hearing it. And that happens with my podcast too. I do have a lot of listeners that reach out to me saying, thank you so much for putting out your podcast. It's helped me a ton. And I don't even know how much I even like my own podcast sometimes when I listen back to them, because I'm always, you know, a tough critic on myself. And even some people sometimes will be like, oh, I don't like listening to this guy. And if I listened to those people, I would be depriving the people that hopefully, like you, making it to the end of the episode here, are actually people who really enjoy my content. So I got to remember that I'm doing it for you guys. I'm doing it for those of you who really like my content and are benefiting from it. I can't let the fear of, I don't even like my own content that much, I don't think I'm that good, I don't think I should be a podcaster. If I thought about all of those things, it would hold me back from being able to inspire other people to do things. If you are thinking, I don't know how good of an influencer I would be, I don't think I really have that much value to add, then you may be holding yourself back from doing something that could change someone's life. So just think about it through that lens. Maybe you won't be great at it at the beginning, but you don't want to have any regrets with not ever starting at all. So don't be afraid to get started, and whatever results you get, you're not going to regret it. The only thing that you're going to regret is if you miss the opportunity to try something that you felt like you were being called to do. So guys, let's not neglect our callings. Let's not neglect our gifts. You have a voice that someone in the world, not everyone, of course, because no one's voice is beneficial to everyone, but that's not who it's about. It's about the people that actually could benefit from your teachings and the things that you have to provide to the world. So just remember, you're making it for them, and all of the other naysayers, as well as yourself, are not who you should listen to. So thanks so much for listening to this episode, guys. If it resonated with you, I'd be infinitely grateful if you could please leave a review of the podcast or even share it with a friend that you think could benefit from listening. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you guys soon.